Good afternoon, folks. This is Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich on the Sheriff's Report. Today, we're going to have a special guest with us today. And Kelly Cruz is an individual that I've worked with over the past several years. I've gotten to know him very well. I've come to respect him in that he does things for the community and he's not asking for anything in return. He has never done that. The sheriff's office and I have teamed up with him on many projects in the west central area of the city of Spokane, designed to help teenagers, youth. One of our last projects, Kelly, was a project to enforce underage drinking laws and make sure that that wasn't going on. During that time, you had a study that showed some of the problems that West Central faces. One of the most troubling for me, besides the drug and alcohol issues, which lead to the one that really troubles me, is the suicide rate of the kids in the West Central area. And much of that suicide rate is because they just don't see a future. They don't see any hope. Which is sad that a 15-year-old is already determined that, well, life's just not worth it. He doesn't even, or she doesn't even know that life really has a lot of surprises, and there are so many things that can happen. No matter what socioeconomic background you come from, if you want to put out the effort, there are people that are willing to help you, and Kelly's one of those people that are willing to help our youth succeed. So, you know, Kelly, why don't you tell us a little bit about that past effort, and then let's talk about the new effort that we're working with you on in reference to the mental health aspect, because it also tags back to, you know, that one that I keep bringing up, and that's the suicide. Because, folks, for me, that one does just ring home really, really hard for me, that our youth don't think that there's anything worth living for. That's not the way I grew up. I didn't grow up in a bed of roses either. But I was always told, you work hard. Work hard. And that's part of what's missing is that mentorship and that value-based system of, yeah, things are tough, but you can overcome that. I mean, my grandparents, my great-grandparents came from the old country. My grandfather went to work in the coal mines when he was 14. He worked his way all the way up to supervisor, taught himself how to read and write English and everything else. What happened? So, Kelly, let's chat. What about that first initial effort?
Hey, you talked about the law enforcement partnership grant we received to work with law enforcement agencies in our coalition boundaries or community, and that was to reduce the incidences of underage alcohol consumption and substance abuse. And we conducted through your department and working with folks at SPD compliance checks to retailers in our coalition boundaries. But prior to that, they were sent a letter acknowledging that there was going to be a potential compliance check and that they should read up on the rules. And we also had a survey team go out ahead of that and question retailers about, you know, who they can sell to and what they should be looking for when somebody comes in to buy an alcoholic beverage in their establishment. That went pretty well, except we had one or two retailers that either failed the survey or the compliance check. So still continue to work on that. In fact, down by the courthouse by Charlie and my boys, we have a billboard up, prevention coalition billboard about underage drinking, and there's a couple other sites across the city you'll see our faces up on a billboard asking the community to, you know, remind folks it's not cool to let young kids drink. Great.
I guess my next question for you, Kelly, is when do we start doing the marijuana checks?
That's probably soon, because earlier this spring, the Liquor Control Board across the state did testing of retailers to see what they were doing, and they didn't do too well. One in six failed the test, you know, either by not having the correct signage or selling to underage people. So it's like any other product that can be abused, you know, and people make a quick buck off of it. They don't care who they sell it to or the impact, social impacts. It's just the bottom line is profit. And you talked a little bit about mental health. Well, the profit of our society is leading to the mental health deficiency of our youth. And to get into that, our coalition was formed about 4 years ago. And the first studies that came out from 2012, Healthy Youth Survey, showed that in our coalition boundary, the attempted suicide and suicide rate for youth 10 to 17 was 3 times out of the state average. Three times. The most recent data, you're going to like this, maybe not, Ozzy, showed that from 2014 data showed that that number had gone up to 4 times the state average.
And folks, you wonder why this is a major concern.
Yeah. We in School District 81, which encompasses the city of Spokane and our coalition boundary, had 5 suicides this past school year. 2 of those were inside our coalition boundary. So I just kind of cringed and I cried that night when I heard that news, because that means our number's going up to like 6 or 8. And so we need to get a handle on this. We need to work with our programs, like at the West Central Community Center and programs through the Native Project and the YMCA, who are some of our partners, and work with our youth and show them there is a positive path forward. There is a place for them in our society. And we also need to improve our small business climate, because they're the major employers of these folks during the summer. You know, when I grew up in this community, Parks and Rec stood for something. We used to hire high school kids and college kids, and they ran programs in the summertime. As a taxpayer, I'd much rather see my dollars go to that than trying to deal with somebody who's got a chemical dependency or substance abuse issue, ends up at the jail and goes to the legal system.
And you're absolutely correct on that aspect. I think a lot of people would rather spend their tax dollars on more positive aspects than trying to overcome all these negatives. And folks, the old saying is it's easier to raise and build a strong child than it is to fix a weak adult. And that is what this is all about. When we talk about drug and alcohol, it feeds right into the mental health aspect of it, because drugs and alcohol can contribute to mental illness. We call that co-occurring mental illness. You have possibly an underlying mental illness that is compounded by the drugs or alcohol, or that mental illness was brought on by the abuse of drugs and alcohol. So this is a very, very intertwined, interrelated issue when it comes down to the fact that you have substances that are being abused that are leading or contributing to or magnifying mental health issues. So the next emphasis that you have is really focused on the mental health aspect of this.
Correct. And with that, our coalition received a grant to do 2 first aid mental health trainings in the community, and we will be putting those on. The first one is August 28th, and the second one is September 12th. And you can contact Becky Swan at bswanspokanecounty.org to pre-register. They're free. They're all day from 8:30 to 5. You get a free lunch. The main thing is we're going to train folks that interact with our youth on how to deal when they see a mental health crisis. You know, as I go around the community, it saddens me when I talk to a youngster and I see that, you can see that look in their eyes, that, you know, the despair and their distrust of society and lack of friendship and cohesiveness. So it's really a struggle to see so many of our youth with that today.
And you know, Kelly, if they're not getting that positive feedback from us, and you know, I know that there are probably people out listening going, you know, that's their parents' issue. Folks, we have created a society where the family is being broken apart. The family core isn't what it used to be, especially if you're older as I am. These kids don't have parents. And if they do have parents, that was just a purely biological function. And sometimes you have grandmothers and trying to raise kids. That's not the way it was really designed to go. They're missing, you know, the father figure. Some of them are missing mother figures. And some of them just don't have anybody. So when you take a look at that dynamic, the fact that the family core is on the verge of being shattered in our nation, you need to start thinking about what that means for us as a nation. Because the old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle, that's very true. And if we lose one more generation, I shudder to think what happens to this nation. We need to teach these kids, quite frankly, how to be parents, because their parents were never taught how to be parents. Kelly, last time you and I talked, you talked about generational cycle, where there are up to three generations that have been trapped in this cycle of, you know, they really don't know how to be parents. They really, you know, it's just dysfunctional from the beginning. Talk a little bit about that generational side that you see in this.
Well, what's interesting, I volunteer at COPS West, and we have an NCO. She is now seeing, she's at the stage of her career, towards the end of her career, and she's been around long enough, and I've talked to other officers, and even in your own department, when they go out, they're seeing the third generation being raised up now. The same things that were existing in the 70s through the 80s and 90s are still occurring. And what's disturbing about that is, in a little less than a decade, we're going to see the greatest generation vanish from our midst. The baby boomers are on their way out. This next generation is the one that's going to be the foundation of our community and our society. And if we don't provide a strong foundation, you're absolutely right, our state, our city, our country will fall as a nation, because we'll have anarchy.
And you're, quite frankly, Kelly, I'm going to hijack you for a second, but I'm seeing that right now, folks. I'm seeing that out on the street with the deputies. Deputies are making contact with people that say, you kind of don't have to follow what you tell me to do. I don't have to do what you ask me to do. I have rights. Thing is, folks, they don't even understand the rights that they have. If the deputy's investigating possible crime, he has a right to stop you. He has a right to see what's going on. Because under some of the philosophy that I've had to deal with in the last 24 hours, let me ask you this question. Under the philosophy that some of these folks have, that they don't have to do anything, that means if a deputy, you call a deputy late at night, because this incident I'm talking about happened late at night, he comes into the area, he sees three people, that's how many people that they said were possibly committing this crime. He rolls up to the situation, and they say, well, you don't have the right to talk to me, you just want him to drive away? Oh, okay, you're right, bye. And lo and behold, let's say they did commit that crime, and it was your car that was broken into. You really want the deputy just drive away and say, bye? You know, we have become a nation that we don't have to. We don't have to do, the rules don't apply to me. There's no accountability. There's no responsibility. If these rules don't apply to me, you know, and what's worse is people want to hide behind the Constitution. I love the Constitution. I support the Constitution. I've taken oaths many times to uphold it. But folks, you don't even understand what the Constitution says. I had a conversation last night, Kelly, with an individual that tried to tell me something. I said, sir, have you ever read the Constitution? He said, no, sir. I said, well, I would, because you don't know what you're talking about. I've read that document multiple millions of times. When a deputy sheriff comes into the academy, the first document that they are given is the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. So you're absolutely right, Kelly. We have to start mentoring, because we are vastly becoming a society, and you mentioned it, of near anarchy, because that's what you're talking about when, hey, rules don't apply. That's not liberty, folks. That's anarchy.
Yeah, and that's true. We've seen that play out across the nation, most recently in Baltimore, where there's a lack of knowledge about your rights. And I remind people, it says rights in the Constitution, but those are your responsibilities. And you have to realize what your part in that language is. And if you haven't read it, if you don't understand it, you really can't come up from a background to espouse what this and that is. That's my contention.
And bravo. Very few people ever get it correct like you just did. With those rights come great responsibilities. We forget that. But we don't want to be responsible anymore. We don't want to be accountable for our actions anymore. Go ask a teacher what it's like in a classroom right now. It's not fun for them because they can't control classrooms anymore. Because they can't enforce rules. Everybody has, it's kind of an amazing journey. Let's talk about another issue. You're getting ready, or you are, running for city council, position 3, correct?
Correct.
And, folks, I'll tell you right now, I'm supporting Kelly. I am because there are so many people that come up to me and they always want, can I get your endorsement? Can I get your endorsement? Can I get your support? And then I end up, sometimes regretting that because all they wanted is power. They weren't in it for the people. They weren't in it for you. They weren't in it for the power of the office. And I've heard that from one too many elected officials recently. I've heard that from one too many political groups with agendas of power recently. Kelly Cruz is not about the power. Kelly Cruz is about people. Kelly Cruz has dedicated his life to trying to make this community a better place. Kelly Cruz has dedicated his time, his effort, and his money to invest back into our youth. He cares about this community. He cares about you, the people. And I really hope that you'll take a hard look and make a choice because, Kelly, what I'm seeing on the city council right now, it's almost as dysfunctional as the county right now.
Yeah, and also I remind people when I'm out in the community, when you're an elected official, whatever your public life is, that's transferred to your elected life. You're the example that our community looks at when we look for standards. And it's unfortunately, I know marijuana is legal in this state, but it's still prohibited by federal law. We currently have two people on the council, a person that grows the product and another person who would freely admits using and smoking it. So how do you promote a positive message to our youth and our community when you're using a substance that's prohibited by federal law and can be abused by youth? And to just expand on that a little bit, the most recent figures from the Washington State Department of Health show that 1 in 5 eighth graders across the state has tried or used marijuana. Now, folks, we're not talking about high school now. We're now getting down into our junior high. Do we really want to see that filter down into our elementary level? Because if we don't take a stand and provide a positive role model in our leadership and our elected officials, we will see that happen in our day. So,
and Kelly's being nice. I'm not going to be nice. Your opponent is the one that sells the product.
Correct.
Yeah, Ms. Stratton forgot to tell the selection committee about this little marijuana business that she has, which I found that kind of interesting that you go in for a job interview because that's what that was, and you leave out a little key tidbit that by the way I'm also selling marijuana. That may have changed some people's thought process on that selection, so. I really do think that that you have to take a look at people and what motivates them. Money and profit sometimes motivate people. Now, folks, I know people that are in that business. We, the people of the state of Washington, made that choice. You're talking or listening to one elected official that took a major stand against that bill being passed As a matter of fact, I think I was the only elected official because all my peers were saying, Ozzie, what are you doing? This thing's going to pass by 66%. This could hurt you in an election. And I looked at him and went, okay, yeah. Matter of fact, that happened during my election process in 2010. That was heavy debates going on about this. And I went, you know, that's fine. If I lose an election because I stood for what I believe, outstanding. I'm glad it's going to pass by 66%. But if you don't have the courage to stand for your convictions, then I don't know why I'm supporting you. That's why I felt about it, folks. These people didn't agree, but they weren't going to stand up because the poll said it was going to pass by 66%. Well, I look at it this way. My job is to try to inform you to the best that I can. My job is to lay out the facts the best that I, as I see them. If you choose to do something in a different vein, that is the process our founders gave us. And the day that you decide that, you know, Sheriff, you're out of step with us to the tune that you don't want me to be here anymore, I'll accept that. But that's the way it has to be. And Kelly, I applaud you for having that type of courage.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of us that oppose that talked about that. And what's interesting, just the other day in the paper, there was a study that came out that showed there's minimal or no medical benefit from using marijuana, only in very selected areas. Certainly using it recreationally, and I'm still trying to wrap my hands around that because people ask me, what does it mean to use it recreationally? And I tell them, well, I guess you can just sit home, not have a job, and smoke dope all day, you know. But the big effect is on our young people because studies and data have shown that the brain and the chemistry is continually changing and growing till about age 25. And any chemical used or abused can directly affect that growth in the brain and in the chemistry. So, like I talked about before, and you've seen this, you know, in the jail, we keep growing the crop because we fertilize the ground and make it right for that type of individual to be the rule and not the exception in our community. We need to switch that around if we ever hope to get, you know, they talk about too many people in jails and stuff. Well, we have to, as a nation, as a state and a city, decide what substances we want out there in our community and how we're going to regulate them. Definitely marijuana, from over a decade and even a century of studies and discussion, has been shown that it has no real value to society or for our youth especially.
The thing is we forget history, Kelly. We do. We forget the fact that at one time, heroin, opiates, or opium, cocaine, Coca-Cola, the Coke stands for something, folks. That was cocaine. Marijuana, all of these things were legal at one point, you know, fairly unregulated. And society started going, we're getting a lot of problems from this stuff. And they cracked down and they made them illegal. And then society started forgetting that lesson. And they started listening to, hey, I want to have it my way. You can't tell me what to put in my body. You can't tell me that this is bad for me. I have a right to do whatever I want. Well, okay, folks, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, I get that. But the problem is what you forget about that is you can do that right up until it starts affecting everybody else. When your behavior starts negatively affecting everybody else, then you don't have the right to that. That's not what the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness was all about. We are a nation of laws. You forget that little piece of the puzzle. Before we run out of time, I want you to make sure that you give people contact information for your campaign. Let's get that out of the way right now.
Sure. My contact information for my campaign is my website, which is www.cruzforcouncil.com. You can also reach me through my email at cruz2013@gmail.com. Or you can reach me on my cell day or night, 413-7557. And I would invite you to go to my website because there's a lot more information on there and look at the issues and some of the things I'm talking about.
Okay. Now, Kelly, just in case folks didn't have a chance to go and grab a pen, they didn't have a chance to, you know, maybe get out their smartphone and start typing, give that information one more time.
Sure. Yeah, the website, www.cruzforcouncil.com. Through my email at cruzforcouncil2013@gmail.com or on my cell, 413-7557.
1 minute. Wrap up your platform. What are you going to do?
Right now, the biggest thing for me is public safety. Businesses in my community and my part of town have experienced over the last couple of months about an $82,000 loss of copper, i.e. air conditioning and electrical. It's happened across the city, and so that's number one for me. The next thing is economic development. We have to sit down with our businesses, find the tools, and eliminate the roadblocks to allow them to invest and expand and hire more of our young people in our small business community. The other thing is community engagement, you know, which is lacking. We have these dog and pony shows at City Hall where we saw that happen with the Rachel Dolezal and the commission. They drag these people out and say what good people they are. We never really get a chance to vest them in the community, truly. So that's another big key, community engagement with our folks.
You mean you might vet people before you put them on a law enforcement committee?
Yeah, I think so. And I think one of those standards should be if you're going to be on a committee like that, you should have a minimum residency in the city, not 9 months. So that would solve some of the problem.
My opinion, they should have to go through the same type of background a police officer has to go through to get the job. That would be a shocker for him to find out what that process is like. Folks, this is Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich. I hope that you've enjoyed this program. Again, Kelly is running for city council, position number 3.
District 3.
So remember, Kelly Cruz, District 3. Have a great weekend. Again, Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report here on KTW, the fabulous 630.